Greetings, I'm Dr. Miguel Gonzalez. This is Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. Once again, thank you for joining us this week. Today we will continue, this will be part three of the principle of sharing as we continue on in the series we've entitled The Pursuit of Christ. We've already talked about the principle of exaltation. We've talked about the principle of love, the principle of following, and we're currently on the principle of sharing, part three. The last 2 weeks, we were considering the need of communicating or sharing with others the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in order to bring people, or at least with the aim of bringing people to the foot of the cross, so that there they may see their sin, repent of that sin, and see their need for forgiveness and for a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. We have said before, we will continue to say unapologetically, that apart from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there is no hope of salvation. The beautiful thing is that Christ, the Son of God, God, the second person of the triune Godhead, came into the world because of his love for us to give his life on that cross to make payment for our sins, to die as a substitute, to die in our place. We know that the resurrection, a central, a cardinal doctrine of the Christian faith, clearly demonstrates that full payment was accepted by God through the sacrifice of Christ upon that cross. This week, we will talk about the reason for telling or the reason for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why should we tell others about Jesus Christ? Well, and we're going to look at a particular passage in 2 Corinthians, and I'll let you know right now, this is not the only text in Scripture that tells us why we ought to share or ought to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not meant to be an exhaustive list or an exhaustive list of reasons why we should tell. It's just one in a list of many reasons why we should tell others or share Christ with others. The text that I have in mind is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 21. I will not read all of them at one time. I will read only the sections that I will speak of at a time so that we don't have to read so many verses in one shot. But I do want to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to look at verses 10 and 11 first. And this is, again, the reasons for telling or the reasons as to why we should share Christ with others. And this is what Paul said. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know that it is to fear the Lord. We know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. Let me read that back because I just kind of ran words together here. Verse 11. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. Okay. Two reasons in these two verses why we should be in the business of telling others, of sharing Christ with others. First of all, in verse 10, we are told by Paul that we will all, as believers, and he's referring to born-again Christians, we all, as believers, will appear before the judgment seat of Christ and make account of our lives to him after we became personally related to Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this in the offset. All human beings will appear before God. All human beings will appear before God. The difference is believers will appear before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, not to determine. In fact, let me make take another step back. All people will appear before God. None of them will appear before God to determine whether they go to heaven or hell. That has been determined by us here on earth during our lifetime. The only difference is that those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will appear as believers before the judgment seat of Christ, where Christ will review and evaluate the works that they performed during their life as Christians to see whether they merit rewards or not. Their salvation has already been secured by virtue of being related to Jesus Christ. We need to spend time thinking about that because it's an important thing Paul is telling us. I don't know if you realize this or not. God saved you because he loved you. That's demonstrated by the fact that Jesus, his son, died for you on that cross. He certainly didn't have to, but he did. Jesus Christ allowed humanity to cause his blood to be shed upon that cross, and he did so in order to save you of your sins. But he saved you not only in order to guarantee you a place in heaven, but he saved you so that during your lifetime here on earth, you would serve him and do good works for the sake of the kingdom and for the glory of God. In fact, the Bible goes as far as to say that God has created good works for us to do before we were even saved. My job as a Christian now is to obey those clear commands of God and to complete the good works that he has created for me to do. And let me tell you something, folks. In relation to the principle of sharing, this is the point I want to make. One day you, as a believer, will come before the judgment seat of Christ, and you will make accounts as to why it was that you did not share the only cure, the only antidote that exists with others as to the cure for the disease that is theirs called sin. And you know, I think about this. I think of the person who took the time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with me. I think of the love and compassion that she had for me as she sensed in her spirit that I was lost in my sins. And as she perceived that if I died before I made a profession of faith, I would spend eternity in hell. She loved me so much, though she didn't know me. She loved me so much because she knew Jesus loved me so much that she took the time to take that which was the most precious knowledge she had and shared it with me, and that was her own encounter with the Lord Jesus. And let me tell you something, folks. One day in heaven, not only will she see me again as her brother in the Lord, but she will receive reward for everything I accomplished for the Lord, because whatever I accomplished for the Lord, I accomplished because she first took the time to share the gospel with me. She invested herself in me. She shared with me the essential gospel of Christ. She made it possible for the Spirit to convict me of my sin and to lead me to repentance. She had made it possible for the Spirit to grant me the gift of faith so that I might believe. And now everything that I might accomplish for the Lord is to her credit. And if I lead others to the Lord and they accomplish great things for Christ, those great things will be to her credit as well, because they were all accomplished because she took the initiative the first time around to invest herself in me by sharing with me the essential gospel. And when she comes before the judgment seat of Christ, you know what she's going to hear her Lord say? Well done, ye good and faithful servant. You shared me with those who were lost, and because of your faithfulness, many, many were saved. And at the end of the day, folks, that is really all that matters in my life and your life. First of all, it matters because it's my soul we're talking about, and once I'm saved, it's about the souls of many people who are now in the same boat I was before I trusted Jesus. And we talked about in previous programs about the moral responsibility that is ours to do it because of the fact that we have the knowledge and the one cure that will save a person from that fatal disease called sin. You, as a believer, will one day come before Christ, and Christ will evaluate and review your life before you, and Christ will judge your works with fire, and that which was done for the glory of God and done well in obedience to His command will stand, and that which wasn't will not. And let me just remind you of this. Good works for the sake of good works may not stand at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're doing things in the name of God, but you're doing it for your own aggrandizement and for your own glory, that doesn't count as a work for Christ or for the kingdom. That'll burn. But listen, I have to believe that one of the first questions coming out of our Lord's mouth when we come before the judgment seat of Christ is going to be this: how many did you tell about me? Did you get that? One day when you come before Jesus, if you are a believer, this is a question that I'm pretty certain we will all hear. And one of those first questions is going to be this: how many people did you tell about me? The second thing he says in this verse is the second thing he says as to why we ought to tell people about Jesus or share Christ with others is found in verse 11. And in essence, what Paul is saying is this: listen, one reason why you ought to tell is because you, as a Christian, you're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give Christ an answer. As to, you know, he will tell you thank you if you were one who shared, and if you weren't, he's going to ask you why. But the other reason why we ought to be telling people is because we're told in verse 11 that those who do not know Jesus will appear before him at the great white throne judgment. And again, they're not appearing there to determine whether they're going to heaven or hell. They're going to hell. That was a determination they made in this lifetime. But once they come before the great white throne judgment, it's too late for anything. And we are hearts are to hurt for the lost people in this world. The truth of the matter is that I suppose we don't think much of it because we don't know what hell is like. Therefore, we don't know what we're hoping we will be able to spare others of. Hell is unlike anything humanity has ever experienced. If you were with us several months ago, you know we went through a series of messages dealing with prophecy. And we talked about the 7-year tribulation period that was going to be a sort of hell on earth. And not even the tribulation period it'll pale by comparison to what hell is going to be like, and for the length of which hell is, which is forever. Listen. Not only should I share Jesus with others because of the fact that I will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, but I ought to share Jesus with others because I know that if I don't and people don't trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they have a date with Christ at the great white throne judgment where they will be judged and cast forever into the lake of fire. If I don't share Jesus with others, then I don't really have the love for others that Christ says I ought to have. Remember, my life ought to be characterized by love because the God who lives in me is the God of love. And I should be, through the process of sanctification, I am being conformed more and more to the image of Christ, which means the more and more I become like Christ, the more and more I love people. And the more and more I love people, the more and more I want to see them coming into a personal relationship with Jesus. Now look at verse 14. Here's another reason as to why we ought to share or tell others about Christ. Listen to what he says. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. You know why we ought to tell others about Jesus? Because the love of Jesus compels us to do so. Listen, you, if you're a parent, if you have sons or daughters, or if you're a grandparent, you would never, or at least you should never, do anything that would cause harm to your children because of the simple fact that they are your children and you would do nothing to bring harm to them. But let me tell you something, if you're a Christian and you're not sharing your faith with your sons and daughters or with your grandchildren, you're bringing them more harm than you could possibly ever imagine. Listen, the love of Christ compels us to share him with others. If you're a Christian, your heart ought to be consumed with love, if for no other reason, because you've come to the realization that he loves you in such a way that he died for you. So Paul says, we ought to be telling other people because the love of Christ compels us to do so. And then in verses 16 and 17, he gives us yet another reason. Listen to what he says in 16 and 17. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. I'm in the right place. 16 and 17. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, listen, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You know why we share Jesus with others? Because we are new creations, because we have experienced the new birth. All things are done with. All things have become new, including the desire to make sure that the grace that we have tasted because somebody else told us about Jesus is something somebody else gets to taste because we in turn tell them. There is not a single thing that is more important to tell anybody about in life than about Jesus. About Jesus. Now listen to what Paul says in verses 18 through 21. He goes on to say, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, and as though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. In verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You know what the Bible says? That because we have been born again, because we are now Christians, that because we are now the children of God, certain responsibilities and obligations have fallen on us. And for example, in verse 18 of Second Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says this, listen, you as a new creation, as somebody who has been born again, you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And in verse 19, he says that God has reconciled the world to himself, and he's doing it through the Lord, but through us as his messengers, as his agents, as his ministers of the gospel. Listen. If you've been saved, and if you know the essential gospel, you possess the most significant and important piece of information that a human could ever, ever, ever possess. You have within you the cure to the only disease that is incurable apart from a personal relationship with Jesus. You have become a minister, and your ministry has to do with reconciling people to God. Not that you can do it, but you're the agency that God uses to communicate the gospel to others, and you're the agency that makes it possible for the Spirit to use that gospel that you've shared in order to convict and lead people to a place of faith where they can believe the essential gospel. And in verse 20, Paul says, listen, we have become ambassadors of Christ. You know what an ambassador does? An ambassador represents a nation on a foreign land. An ambassador represents the people of the nation he comes from on a foreign land. And whatever the ambassador says, it's as if the people back in his country said it, for he speaks for his country. The Bible says that we're aliens in this world. We're just passing by if we're rightly related to Jesus. But as people who are just passing by, we are, as long as we're still here, we are ambassadors, and we represent the kingdom of God, and we represent God in heaven here in this world. I need to make sure that I'm not propagating and pushing my own agenda like many who profess to be ministers of the gospel do. You know, there's a lot of people who preach religion for the sake of money. You know that? Let me say that again. There's a lot of people who get into the religious field and create television ministries and radio ministries like this for no other purpose than to become millionaires. One day they will settle those accounts with God. But we've become ambassadors of Christ, and we have become the righteousness of God. Listen, if you're still here and you're a Christian, that means God's not done with you, and he has more work for you to do. And I guarantee you that for the most part, the work he wants you to do has to do with you telling others about Jesus, with you sharing Christ with others. There's no greater work that has been given to us by God than to share our faith, to share the essential gospel with those who are lost and separated from him. Well, we've reached the end of this program. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray that you would help us apply what we have learned. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Miguel Gonzalez, President of Reasons for Faith International Ministries, and your Bible teacher right here on Truth to Live By. I want to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for joining us every week as we together study God's inspired and inerrant Word. I want to take this opportunity right now to invite those of you who have not yet trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to do so. All you have to do is repeat this simple prayer after me. Father, I understand and acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I understand that because of my sin, I am alienated from you. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I believe that only through Him can I be saved. I pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would cleanse me and forgive me of all sin. Lord Jesus, right now I invite you to come into my heart and into my life and be my Lord. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Well, my friend, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that if you have prayed this prayer from the sincerity of your heart, you are now God's children. You have been given the free gift of eternal life, and your sins have been forgiven. And for those of you who have been listening to us and you are Christians, but you have been walking in a manner that is not consistent with the life that we are called to live as believers, this is the time that God has given you. This is the time in which God is calling you to recommit your life to Him so that He may use you for His kingdom. I want to remind you that these programs can be ordered on CD. If you're ordering any of our programs, you need to send a written request and include in that written request the date on which you heard the program, the title of the program, if you happen to have that, and the call letters of the radio station on which you heard the program. I will be giving you our contact information at the end of the program. We do ask that you would include a suggested donation of $5 to help us with the cost of production, materials, and shipping and handling. I also want to remind everybody, this is a listener-supported ministry. The only way we stay on the air continually proclaiming the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ is by the general contributions of listeners like you. Our entire budget is met by believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who believe that it is our mission to continue to carry out this work. I want to remind you also to invite your friends and family to join us each week as we continue this particular series entitled The Pursuit of Christ. Would you please contact us? You can write to us or send us an email. We have been very encouraged by many of the remarks that we have received by viewers and listeners to the radio and television program. God is truly ministering to them through this series. This is our contact information. If you want to send us an email, send it to truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. If you're writing to us to order any resources or programs, you can send your letter to Truth to Live By, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. And again, we want to thank you for joining us each week, and we certainly pray that you would continue to do so as we move through this particular series. Last item, I want to point you to our website, www.rffiministries.org. There you can find out a great deal about us and about our resources. God bless you, and we will see you next week.